Going Linux, episode 53, Home Networking, the advanced episode. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Tom. Going Linux is designed to provide you with practical day-to-day advice on how to use Linux and Linux applications to get things done.
If you are new to Linux, moving to Linux, or just thinking about going Linux, then this podcast is for you.
And each month we publish three episodes. We begin the month with a listener feedback episode. In those episodes, we read listener email, play listener-generated audio, and answer listener questions.
On the third Tuesday of each month, I appear live on the Computer America radio show. We post those shows, minus the commercials, as Going Linux episodes.
And then in our user experience episodes, we normally take 2 months to explore a topic related to Linux. During the first month, we introduce the topic for new Linux users and recent converts. During month two, we discuss the same topic from a more advanced perspective for users building their confidence and competence with Linux.
Today's episode is our second episode on home networking. We hope that you'll find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done. Well, here we are, Tom, at our networking advanced episode.
Yay! And our listeners, those who have written us about home networking, setting up to share printers, sharing files between computers, and connecting networked hard drives, will be very happy we finally got into this episode.
Yes, last time we talked about what hardware you need to set up a home network and how to connect it. This episode will be focused on how to use your home network, how to share information and resources like files and folders. Since this will be a fairly long episode, we'll save connecting printers on your network for our next user experience episode.
Before we begin, we need to thank the following listeners who submitted questions that have ended up being in this episode. And those people are AJ, Jim, Jacob, D. Biddy, Karen, David, and Omar. And there might have been some others. Thanks for everybody.
Yes, thank you. Now, there are some topics about networking that have been covered by others much more effectively than we could. We'll mention them and give you links, but we won't even try to cover those topics here. For example, how to set up a Samba server to make shared directories available for browsing. Chess Griffin covered that in his episode 26 of Linux Reality. And that episode was on connecting to Linux from Windows across a network using the command line. Essentially, he covered installing a Samba server, starting and stopping the server, and setting up a Samba user. The good news is that in most distributions, Samba and other networking software is installed and works out of the box. But we're not going to cover the command line methods here. Let's just cover the graphical user interface methods, which most people switching from Windows would be much more comfortable with.
Works for me. Okay, let's take a practical approach and talk about specific examples. I think that'll be most useful to our listeners.
I agree.
Okay, I have a podcast and music folder on one machine, and I want to be able to read and write from that directory from my second machine. I'd like to know how to set up the network on each machine to make that happen. But before we do anything, let's make sure we're all speaking the same language. We need to define some terms that may be new to some people. So, let's define IP address, WAN, LAN, Samba, and cups. And those are all foreign to you right now, but Larry's going to clear it all up.
All right. Well, some very basic definitions to start with. IP address. Each computer on our home network setup will have a unique number assigned to it by the router in our network. That number is called the IP address. IP stands for Internet Protocol. WAN, W-A-N, stands for Wide Area Network. This is the connection for your modem. In other words, the outside internet. That also appears as a connector on your router, and it's probably labeled WAN, W-A-N. That's what it's for, is to connect your router to the outside internet through your modem. The next term is LAN, local area network. This is the connection for your internal network, the local network, in other words.
Okay.
And you'll see a connector for this labeled LAN on your router as well. This is where you connect your home computers to the router. Another term we'll use is called SAMBA, S-A-M-B-A. SAMBA is the open source implementation of the Windows file sharing protocol. That comes into play when we are sharing resources between Linux and Windows computers. Unfortunately, there are some changes in Windows Vista in particular that cause some problems with the SAMBA Windows file sharing protocol. I'm not going to make any comments about Microsoft not being compatible with its own specifications, but let's just move on. NFS, our second last term for definition, is called network file sharing, and that's the network file sharing within the Linux environment. And CUPS. CUPS is the common Unix printing system that we'll be using for printer sharing in our next user experience episode.
Okay, now we're all speaking the same language. And for our listeners who haven't listened to our introduction to networking in episode 50, you might find it useful to listen to that episode first to understand how the network hardware connects together. Now, for my network, I have my modem connected to the internet, my router connected to the modem, a multi-port switch connected to the router, and my two computers connected to each port on the switch. In the article on our website, in the episode 50 show notes, we show a diagram that assumes a more modern configuration using a router that has a multi-port switch built in. I have a kind of a unique setup. In my case, I need two separate components because my router has only one WAN port for the modem and one LAN port for the internal network. To connect more than one computer, I had to add a switch that provides more than one LAN port. You probably won't have to do that, but just so you know what I'm dealing with.
Mm-hmm. So now that you have all your hardware connected, you have probably noticed that everything just worked when you connected the cables.
Right, exactly. But the first thing I did was, as we recommended the last time, to log into the router by opening the web browser and typing the IP address of the router into the location bar. And then I changed the administrator password and made sure that remote administration was turned off. Now I can browse the internet from both computers, but I'd like to start sharing things between my two computers. Where do I start?
Well, the basic setup has about five different things we need to consider. First of all, we need to determine or set the IP addresses for your individual computers that are on your network. Secondly, we need to open the ports in your software firewall if you have one installed. Next, we need to share the folders and directories that we want shared. We need to determine whether or not we want a username and password to be used. And lastly, we need to make the connections to those folders and directories.
All right, so the first step I know how to do, open a terminal and type ifconfig. That's India Foxtrot config, all one word. That lists information about each of your network cards and one labeled low. The IP address is listed as the first set of four numbers after INET ADDR. In my case, it's 192.168.1.101 on one machine and .102 on the other.
In GNOME and KDE, you can also get the IP address graphically. Right-click on the Network Manager icon in the notification area of the panel and choose Connection Information. Your IP address is listed there. The router assigns the IP address automatically. Each computer on the network must have a different one. In most home networks, these will begin with either 192 172, or 10. We're going to use these IP addresses as we connect between the computers. So go ahead and determine them for each machine on your network. Tom, you've already done that. With a router, since the IP addresses are assigned automatically, it is possible that the addresses that the router assigns can change over time. It's not likely to change, but it can change, especially if you reset the router.
Okay, well, I imagine it's pretty important to keep the same IP address assigned to each machine if we want to set up a sharing connection and we want to maintain that connection. If the IP address changes, those connections will break and we'll have to set them up again, right?
Right. The router uses something called a DHCP server function to make setting up a network easy. It assigns IP addresses to each computer on the network individually. They are very unlikely to change. In my home network, the only time they change is when I reset the router, and sometimes not even then. But I used to have an old wireless router that would overheat and I'd have to reset it frequently. As a result, I set a fixed IP address on certain devices in my network, those devices that I always share. I have a NAS, which is a network attached storage, essentially a big hard drive on the network that holds all my backup files and files shared by all computers on my network. I also have a network printer sharing device with its own IP address. I set each of those devices with their own fixed IP address using their setup utilities.
All right, but what if our listeners want to set a fixed IP address for each computer to avoid that whole possibility?
Okay, generally speaking, you won't really need to do this, but if you do want to set a fixed IP address for some of the devices on your network, as I have done, log into your router and find out what IP addresses are being provided by the router and set the fixed addresses outside of that range.
So, for example, my router is set to assign addresses in the range 192.168.1.100 through .200. I could set up my IP addresses at 192.168.1.99 or .202, and they'd always stay the same?
Right. We'll get into how to actually set these IP addresses in just a second, but when you do, make sure that when you set the IP address, in the setting labeled subnet mask, that you always use the same setting for each subnet mask. In most home networks, it's automatically set to 255.255.255.0, but the router will show you exactly what that subnet mask is that it's using, and you should use that one. Here's another thing that you might want to consider. If you really want to set static IP addresses for every component on your network instead of just some of them, the DHCP server can usually be turned off in your router's settings. Turning off the DHCP server will cause the router not to assign any IP addresses at all. That will require you to manually set up a static IP address for each device on your network.
All right, well, I think I'm just going to stick with having my router assign the IP addresses. At least for now, it sounds like the simplest way to get set up quickly, right?
Yes, absolutely.
For our listeners who do want to set an IP address manually, how do they do that?
Well, you're right. Letting the router assign the IP addresses is the easiest. It's already set to do that at the factory, and that'll get you up and running most quickly. To set static IP addresses, let's first consider a Windows machine and then a Linux machine. On a Windows machine, you go to the networking application and then to TCP/IP and select Set IP Manually. So for Windows XP, it would be click the Start button, then go to Settings, then Control Panel, and Network Connections. Right-click on your network adapter that you're using on your network. That's usually the only network adapter there if you only have one network adapter in your computer. Then select Properties. Select the General tab and choose Internet Protocol, and then in parentheses TCP/IP. select Use the following IP address, and then in the fields you have to fill out there, fill out the IP address and the subnet mask. That subnet mask is that 255.255.255.0 thing that we were talking about earlier.
Sure. Boy, that was a long walk.
Yeah. In Linux, there are various command line and graphical methods for setting up a static IP address. All require you to be root to make the changes, so somewhere along the line you'll need to enter your password during the setup. We can't cover every possibility here, but most Linux distributions provide their own configuration tools through the desktop menu. For example, Red Hat or Fedora-based systems will have this in the System Tools / Networks. You can also use other Linux tools such as Linux CONF or NetCFG to set IP addresses manually.
And it looks like the best place to find out how to change your network settings or anything on your Linux computer is to check the Help system in your computer's Applications or K menu, and then check the distribution's online documents and forums. And we're going to put a whole bunch of links on the show notes to some of the network setup instructions we've found.
In the meantime, let me describe four common Linux setup situations. First one would be for OpenSUSE. In that particular distribution, you use YAST, the setup tool that's part of the OpenSUSE distribution. Go to Network Devices, then Network Card, and choose Traditional Setup. Click Edit, and enter the static IP address and the subnet mask. Then choose Routing or Routing, depending on where you're from. Enter the default gateway, which is your router's IP address, and then click Next until it's all done. Under KDE 3, you choose the K menu, then Settings, System Settings, Network Settings, select your Ethernet adapter, choose Configure Interface, select Manual, and then enter the IP address in the subnet mask. Select Activate when computer starts, and then OK. Under KDE 4, you right-click the K Network Manager icon in the notification area of the panel. Then choose Edit Connection. Select your connection or click New Connection. Then choose Edit Connection. If you're using a wireless connection here, you want to select Next. Then select Use Manual IP Configuration. Enter the IP address in the subnet mask. Click Next and select Auto Connect. Then choose Save. The easiest one is Ubuntu 8.10 using GNOME 2.24. Right-click the Network Manager icon in the notification area of the upper panel. Select Edit Connection. Select your connection. Choose Edit. Under the IPv4 Settings tab, set the method to Manual. Click Add, enter the IP address and the subnet mask, and click OK. Now, a lot of that stuff was very detailed. We'll include those instructions in the show notes.
Yeah, that was kind of a long walk, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so at this point, either the IP address is static, or, like me, we just let the router's DHCP set the IP address automatically. The next step you mentioned was opening ports in your firewall. Obviously, if you aren't running a software firewall on your computer, you don't need to do this, right?
Right. In fact, now that you're behind a router, it's a hardware firewall. You may opt to turn off your software firewall altogether. Certainly, you can turn it off temporarily until you get the file and printer sharing working. Later, if you intend to continue to use your software firewall, you'll need to re-enable it and then open ports 137, 138, and 139 to enable sharing files and directories across your network. And if you have a printer and you'll be sharing the printer across the network, you'll need also to open port 631.
Great. And for more information about firewalls, listeners can go back and listen to episodes 21 and 23. 21 was the introductory episode on firewall considerations, and 23 was our advanced episode.
Okay, next, we need to enable file and printer sharing. If you have a Windows computer, you go to the control panel and turn on file and printer sharing. Next, in the Windows Explorer, this is the File Explorer, you find the folder that you want to share, right-click on it, choose Share, provide the name for the shared folder, indicate the number of users that you want to be able to share the folder. By default, I believe Windows sets it to 10 users. You can limit it to just one if you're the only person on your network if you want. Enter the usernames and passwords. When considering usernames and passwords for sharing, whether it's your Windows or Linux computer, if you use the same username and password for all the different computers you have on your network, that will certainly simplify the setup for network sharing. You won't have to worry about usernames and passwords. They'll all be the same.
Okay, and these are the usernames and passwords that you use when you log on to your machine.
That is correct.
Okay.
Now, to enable file and printer sharing on Linux, Samba, which we described earlier, is the open source implementation of the Windows file sharing protocol, and Ubuntu has Samba browsing enabled by default. This lets you access Windows shared folders, but not other Linux shared folders. The latest versions of Ubuntu and Kubuntu, that's 8.10, they've made it very easy to share a Linux directory. In Ubuntu, for example, you right-click a directory in the Nautilus File Manager, select Properties. Then on the Share tab, check the checkbox labeled Share This Folder. Now, if you haven't done this before, you may be prompted to install some additional software. Click the Install Service button. This installs Samba and NFS, the network file sharing. At the end of the setup, you'll be prompted to restart your session. If you aren't using Ubuntu and your distribution doesn't offer to install these services automatically, you'll need to use your package manager to install the Samba server package and the NFS-kernel-server package before proceeding. Once all that's installed, with Ubuntu, you'll be able to select Share This Folder and give the folder a name that will be displayed on the network, and then choose Allow Other People to Write in This Folder if you want the folder to be editable by other computers. Select Guest Access if you don't want people to have to enter their username and password when accessing the shared folder. By the way, this is the username and password on the computer that has the shared folder that they'd be entering in.
Okay.
Now, click Create a Share to finish that up. With KDE 3, after installing Samba with a package manager, you can right-click a directory in Dolphin, select Properties, and the Share tab. The first time you attempt to share a folder, you'll need to click on Configure File Sharing. That's a little button that appears there. And you can configure Simple Sharing or Advanced Sharing. Either way, click the Allow Users button, and for easiest setup, choose Allow All Users to Share Folders. You can also limit which users are allowed to share folders on the network, but for now, we'll keep it simple. Once all of that's done, you can simply right-click to open the folder properties and choose Shared on the Share tab.
It sounds like a lot of that permission stuff is meant for instance, offices where a lot of people are sharing
right
back and forth, and you want some people in and you don't want other people. So I get it. Now, for people who aren't using Ubuntu, they should check the documentation for their distribution on how to turn on file and printer sharing. I'm using Ubuntu 8.10, so the setup was really easy. I shared the folder labeled Music. Does that mean that I can now use the Nautilus File Manager to access the shared files on the network?
That's right. According to the library.gnome.org documentation, to access network places, open the File Manager and choose Places, then Network Servers. A window opens that displays the network places you can access. Double-click on the network that you want to access. To access Windows shares, double-click on the Windows Network SMB object that appears there. A list of the Windows shares available to you is displayed in the File Manager window. We'll have a link to that library.gnome.org article in our show notes. Another way to access shared folders that I found is even simpler than that, is regardless of your desktop environment, open the File Manager, whether it's Nautilus or Conqueror or Dolphin or whatever you have, and in the address bar, type smb:// followed by the IP address of the computer that you want to access.
All right, well, why don't I try it now? I have Nautilus open, and I type smb:// 192.168.1.101 and enter. And there it is. I see the folder and I can open it and I can see the music files. Perfect.
Excellent. Of course, you are using two Linux computers, Tom, but if our listeners have successfully followed along, regardless of whether they have Linux or Windows computers, they should be able to see folders and directories across the network.
Okay, great. Are there any other tricks we need to know?
Well, to set up so that shares are automatically mounted every time you boot your computer, I'm going to provide a link to the Linux Reality podcast, episode 25, where Chest Griffin describes how to connect to Windows from Linux across a network using the command line. He installs SMBFS from the package manager and describes how to let users mount and unmount Samba shares, how to mount them at boot time using a hidden file that contains your credentials. Credentials in Linux speak is your username and password.
Okay, well, thanks for helping me out with that, Larry. Why don't we do a super advanced episode next time? And we'll talk about connecting with shared printers and share some of the tips from our listeners that we didn't get to today.
That sounds fine. In our very next episode, we'll begin our third year of Going Linux with a listener feedback episode. Thanks to everyone who clicked on the donate button during the year on the goinglinux.com website. Your donations have almost covered our hosting and bandwidth costs, so thanks for that. Until our next episode, you can go to the articles and show notes at goinglinux.com for more information and detailed instructions with diagrams and screenshots. Email us with your comments, questions, and suggestions.
Send us an audio comment by email. Seriously, we love getting those audio comments. Just record yourself and attach the MP3 or OGG file to an email and send that to goinglinux@gmail.com. We'll play it on the next show.
And if you can't figure out how to record an MP3 or if you're on Windows and you can't record an OGG, a WAV file will do just fine. Whatever audio format you've got is just wonderful. You can download the episodes from our website, or you can use the Flash Player right there on the website to play them in your web browser.
You can also get future episodes delivered directly to your computer automatically as soon as a new episode is available. Instructions on how to do that are on the website.
Until next time, thanks for listening.
Talk to you later.
Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.